This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is. You already know the vibes. Appreciate all the support. All the supporters out there, you guys have been wonderful. More and more, y'all. I'm noticing just coming in different directions, and I couldn't be more proud, couldn't be more happier, and it's very humbling to see. And keep coming with the, you know, the private messages and, you know, sparking up great conversation about everything that's going on, because it's a lot to talk about, right? So we just found out Aaron Rodgers, he's staying with the Packers. A lot of people probably predicted that, right? But I wasn't sure if he was trying to move away from the game. But as you can see, it was kind of like some unfinished business. I don't know if he wanted to leave his legacy, his, you know, his career the way he left it, you know, after that tough loss in the playoffs. So there's a lot of moves. So Davante Adams, they just tagged him, which is great. So you at least know Aaron Rodgers is going to have, you know, his go-to, you know, one of the best wide receivers, obviously, in the league. What was surprising to me was Russell Wilson moving to the Broncos. Now, I'm not sure if you guys know this, but there's been a lot of rumblings going on about the Broncos actually being like the first team that may be owned by an African-American, apparently. Now, there's a lot going on out there. Kanye, a lot of other big names that are thinking about coming together and actually collaborating on this and owning a team. I know Steph Curry once upon a time, and also P. Diddy wanted to own the Panthers at one point. So, I don't know. So, I'm thinking that might have factored into, you know, also why Russell Wilson decided to do this. I don't know if it was just a, because when you think about it, you know, football-wise, or especially if you're just looking at it as the casual fan, you're like, why would you move to the AFC West? Like, are you kidding me? Or just the AFC in general? Like, you see what's going on with all these guys, you know. Don't forget about Lamar Jackson. You have Patrick Mahomes. You know he's coming back hungry, you know, especially the way he left things. It's a lot of unfinished business. Not to mention, you got Josh Allen. You see the way he... Also, this is the season for these type of quarterbacks to say, oh, there's a lot we're trying to clean up from last year. Definitely some unfinished business. So I just have to assume that there's more to it than just that, because there was a lot of people that even said that if Aaron Rodgers decided to go to the Broncos, they're not exactly Super Bowl ready. But I don't know. It's different opinions, because some people say they are and Russell Wilson's enough, but we'll see. They still have some work in their secondary, I believe, yeah, with the Broncos. So things are not... Also linebacking. They have more work to do. But, you know, the draft is coming up. I believe it's like April 29th, 28th. So it's around the corner. But you got your most important position secured. And that's the quarterback. Now, everybody has the different opinions about Russell Wilson. He has been battling injuries for the last 2 years. So I'm not going to, you know, let that kind of... I guess kind of skew like how I feel about him as a quarterback and his impact, because he's a leader, right? He is a winner. He's the guy that's literally working out now. It's the off season. I feel like he does have a lot to prove, and a lot of people would say, but why would you go over there? You know, this, it doesn't look like you could win. There's going to be way more competition, but it's like, I guess what a lot of casual fans don't understand is the competition. These guys are the best of the best. They were the best in their high school. They were the best in college, you know, and in the draft. And then when you come out and you turn pro, you turn out, it's, you look around a bunch of guys and you're like, wow, there's some guys that are better than you. There are some guys that maybe are on your level. But at the end of the day, you have to outwork them. It's not just talent alone. It's not going to get you by, you know, and these guys are super, super competitive. And as long as you understand that, you can understand why he would want to go play with the best. Why wouldn't you, right? In order to be the best, right? Or to at least be in those conversations with the best, you have to play against them. Make no mistake about it. Because at the end of the day, if you're in a weak division, right, people will hold that over your head. They'll just say, oh, you know, he's great, but who did he face? He only faced, you know, talent that was like, whatever. Come on, you know how it is. Somebody's always got something to say. It doesn't matter. Think about it. Even Tom Brady, right? When he was with the Patriots and everybody was like, oh, he's like playing the Dolphins twice a year. So, you know, and he was playing the Bills. Well, we can't talk about the Bills now, but I'm talking about before. Before Josh Allen. You know, their defense was always pretty solid, but the Bills were a joke at one point, right? And the Patriots just ate that up. But that was one of the knocks. So it was like, okay, but it maybe if they were in this division where it's, you know, the best going up against the best, you know, every Sunday, and you're everybody wants to say, well, okay, strength of schedule does matter. You're right. I'm glad they started incorporating that. Even also in the NBA, they're actually starting to talk about it more because that does matter, especially when you're starting to, you know, you're getting into playoff mode and you're like, okay, we're trying to, you know, turn it up, you know, get into that next gear. It's going to be a little more difficult because everybody knows it's go time, you know. But on another note, it just makes me think that obviously Russell Wilson not only has something to prove, maybe there's some other endeavors, you know, business-wise that's going on. Maybe there's a, you know, I just believe there's a bigger picture. You know, if he's going to be on a team with a black owner, I mean, that's huge. So, we'll see. You know how it is. Carson Wentz, man, what can I say? I mean, I don't want to be, you know, the I told you so. But I told you, because even back with the Eagles, when we were talking about them and everybody was, and they were trying to figure out, were they going to put Foles in that position? Were they going to put Wentz in that position? And then Foles just goes off and becomes, you know, Super Bowl MVP, like nothing. Whole big deal, right? And then when it came time to make that decision, who do we want? I said from jump, I thought that was a terrible decision. I didn't think Wentz was a good leader. From a talent standpoint, I can see what they were saying. But like I was just saying earlier, talent is not enough. It's those intangibles. It's the in-game awareness. I don't feel like Wentz has that. You know, when the pocket closes up, you know, he makes such crazy decisions. And I believe that's why some teams are a little hesitant even with Murray, because we saw that too. You know, some of his decision-making when the pressure was really on, you know, but here's the difference. He has time to grow, right? Wentz, how many chances we're going to give him? I know a lot of, you know, NFL analysts are pretty much saying, analysts are pretty much saying, yeah, this is probably his last season to, like, really prove himself as a starter. Otherwise, he's going to have to be a backup. And I'm almost inclined to agree, but at the same time, it's like, I don't really think that they really have, you know, anybody else. When you look at all the quarterbacks that are available, you know, because everybody's pretty much getting all secured up, you know. I would say he probably still has a chance. But I mean, like, in terms of, like, really trying to prove himself to at least be in a respectable conversation. Because if you see, he's the type of guy that thinks very highly of himself, right? Which is why he got a lot of knock, because it came off as arrogance, because you're not winning every time your team loses and you're asked to talk in the post game interviews. You almost kind of speak as though they lost. I did okay, you know, statistically speaking, but it's like, no, they lost. You know, it's like, that's where I don't like numbers all that much, because when you just look at stats when it comes to Wentz, he doesn't look as bad as it seems. You know, he really doesn't. On numbers, it kind of just seems like, okay, he's probably slightly above average. You can tell he has some talent. But at the same time, it's like, it's one of those things where it's hard to understand. It's one of those intangibles. It's one of those things where we're even trying to understand Jimmy G, which is a little annoying, right? Because we're like, no, he's terrible. Everybody's always saying he's terrible. But he also wins, though. He also wins. So at the same time, it's like, you know, you do need a little bit more. It's more than just talent. You know, it's that leadership quality. It's that quality that guys will literally run into a wall for you with. You know, when you're that leader and you can kind of galvanize guys to get them to do anything, you know, because they believe in you. I mean, well, that kind of speaks for itself. You know, when guys believe in you and they're willing to really give it their all, that's huge. I think that's everything. And I think a lot of guys are not willing to do that for Wentz, which is why we're seeing him kind of get bounced around. Like, I don't even think it has to do with his talent. Yeah, there's things that he should be cleaned up on. I don't know what he's doing with the coaching. I mean, but from what I'm hearing from the reports, he's not coachable. He's arrogant. You know, he acts like he knows everything. Then, I mean, if that's the case and it doesn't work out, you know, with the Washington football team, because the Colts had enough. Even after one season, they had enough. They wasn't even trying to make it work. So I guess he didn't come in there humble. He didn't come in there just saying, okay, let me just get to work. Let me try to understand the culture here and just kind of fit in. And I'm like, man, you had the running back, dude. Like, so you weren't even asked to throw the ball like 50, 60 times, you know, like guys like Patrick Mahomes are asked to do, or Aaron Rodgers are asked to do, you know? So it's like, in that respect, I don't get it. You're not going to have a Jonathan Taylor on your team or any team you go to, you know, not like that. I mean, that was a gift. But we'll see what happens. I mean, he's with the Washington Commanders now. You know, that's their name, Commanders. Okay. I guess I can get used to it. I don't know. I heard a lot of fans don't like it, but it's like anything else. Remember with the Pelicans, nobody liked that either. Or the Wizards on the NBA. Now everybody kind of just doesn't pay any mind. It's not going to be noted as one of, like, the best, you know, names. But, you know, it's just one of those things you'll just get used to, like everybody else. But let's see how he does when he gets there. I mean, the Washington football team has a good defense. The only problem is I heard they're asking Landon Collins to take a pay cut. That's not going over very well. So I don't know how long he's going to be there. So you're going to have to consider, you know, safety position. So we'll see what happens with that. Draft, obviously, like I said, is coming up. So there's going to be a lot of moves made just to see. And then that'll kind of give us an idea more or less of who people will be taking with their picks, you know, in the first and second rounds, even the third rounds, just to try to shape their team and see who they're going to build around. But yeah, I mean, even the Packers too, you know. It's exciting. I'm just sitting here thinking, just where are they going to move everybody? What are the Giants going to do? Yeah. I even heard that we're targeting Mitch Trubisky. I hope that's not true. Like, I really hope that's not true. There's got to be an outlet somewhere where New York fans can go to kind of just breathe, you know, because I know the Knicks just got that win the other night, but I need to see consistency. You know, we're nowhere near in the playoff hunt. We're sitting at 12 in the East, so I don't even know why I even bother following that, because even if they do make it, I mean, what play-in tournament? I mean, who cares? They're probably not going to win that anyway, right? But it's just something to think about. NFL is still making moves, so but I'll keep you guys posted, and if anything happens with that. But guys, if you're also MLB fans, you know I'm not really into the baseball thing. But I heard that you guys should be trying to salvage your season right about now, because I heard that there's coming to an agreement. You know, I heard it's temporary. Heard it's tentative, right? So they still need to come back and still agree on certain things. But on the labor portion of it, which I heard was like the bulk of the argument of how a lot of guys are putting in a lot of work, asked to have taken a lot of pay cuts over the years and haven't really, you know, received any benefits from that or anything close to it. But we've already talked about that in my last episode. A lot of it has to do with, you know, TV money. If that TV money is not coming in like it is with the NBA and the NFL, I mean, there is no extra money to give. Now, am I trying to say that the owners are not being greedy? No, because I'm sure they are. And that's pretty much what they do. But at the same time, when you're at the negotiating table, you have to be able to have something to negotiate with. It's called leverage, right? What exactly do they have? You know, you got to think about that. But If you guys want to comment any further about that, you guys can let me know any details, and I'll definitely put it on the, you know, put it on the next episode, and we'll talk about it. You know, I definitely don't mind. You guys will obviously be a lot more knowledgeable in that subject than I would, because that's not really my thing. But I will be listening out just to kind of see, because I feel for them, because sports is life, you know. So it's like, if that's your sport, if that's like your main thing, and basketball and NFL are like second and third, then I get it. That sucks. You know, what's going on? A bunch of, you know, because from you, it's like, it's a bunch of greedy people arguing over nothing, and you just want to watch the game so you can escape. Totally get it. But at the same time, you know, I guess guys are fighting for their livelihood, and, you know, can't be mad at that. It's no different than when unions and other people go on strike, and they're obviously striking for very different circumstances. But, you know, but at the same time, it doesn't, you can't necessarily marginalize, you know, what they're fighting for. If they feel it's a big deal, it's a big deal. You gotta just have to take it for face value. But things are heating up, though, in the NBA. We only have less than 20 games left. You know, this is like the strong push to the playoffs. We only have less than a month. You know, it's a lot of March Madness going on, too. We'll try to start getting more into that, because I've been watching, but I have to, you know, pay attention to NBA right now. But I'll try to see how I can incorporate some of that. I might just do like some little mini episodes just to kind of talk about March Madness and what's going on. And I have to mention this. Yeah, we did say goodbye to the great Coach K, because what he's done for the game at Duke, I know he's working hard right now, but it was like his last home game, and those tickets were ridiculous, and so many people were complaining. They were like, oh, that's ridiculous. But people don't understand. Like, I'm not saying I agree with it, but we live in a capitalistic society, guys. So when it comes to money, it's not going to make sense all the time, especially if you don't have it like that. If you don't have it like that, you're going to look at things very differently, and I definitely can get that. I understand. I can empathize. But at the same time, we drive up the market. You understand? Like, with all the hype, if somebody's willing to pay it, guess what's going to happen? They're going to sell it for that much. So the power really is with the people. People just don't understand that. It's just maybe not be your people, but understand that. But anyway, 42 years, man. Whew, man, that's a long time. 42 years. I mean, when you think about everybody that he's coached, the legacy that he's leaving behind, I mean, because that's all you ever want in life, right? It's all about your legacy, and you always want to be remembered for how you affected people, not necessarily what you did, but how you made them feel, and how it can carry on to the next generation. You know, I mean, that's just what he did at Duke. That's just timeless. And I'm sure with his family and other things that he's done, but I don't know personally, I'm sure that also will, you know, transcend through, you know, his legacy and throughout his family. But I just mean from like a basketball standpoint, like that was like everything, especially if you were in college and you followed college basketball really closely. I mean, you're really watching a lot of greats leave. You know, these are the guys you grow up watching, kind of idolizing in a way of just how they looked at things, how they looked at life, how they were able to equate basketball with life. It's just amazing. Like, even the other night, with the Spurs, I know you can't really talk about the Spurs too much, right, because they're nowhere near in playoff contention, and that's okay, because Coach Popovich just had an incredible, incredible career, and I hear he's, like, the highest now, right, of wins. That's incredible, up there with Don Nelson, I mean, with the greats of the greats of the greats. It's remarkable what these guys have done. And it's just so weird that if you're around my age, like, you know, that 36, 37 or whatever, you know, you understand that. You understand what it was like depending on when you first got into basketball or whatever. You know, you just remember watching, seeing these faces. And I don't know, some of these guys kind of always looked old to me, so it was kind of funny. Just watching them throughout the years, but even to see that, you know, their careers are coming to an end is still kind of somewhat surreal, you know. But and even from afar, they've had an impact in your life in one way or another, especially if you actually played sports, you know, you can relate in a big way because their philosophy was like religion, especially if a lot of things that you even for life, not even just basketball, but just incredible. It's incredible. But yeah, but on to the NBA. I mean, everybody's like, oh, the Knicks won. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they won. But the real story is tonight, 76ers versus the Nets in Philly. Ben Simmons is not playing. I'm going to say this. Everybody has their own opinion, and that's cool because, you know, that's what we do. I think he should play. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating for people to play if they truly are hurt and they really can't go. But I'm not even talking about you go full throttle, pay like 40-plus minutes. I'm not even talking about that. Just for his team, right? Because I feel like the Nets kind of have this persona of, I'm going to do my own thing, and when we ready to, like, really go as a team, we'll just switch it on in the playoffs, and I don't see how that's going to work, but if they pull it off, they pull it off. I'm not necessarily rooting against them. I just don't understand how all this me, is really going to translate to team, you know? But I would be suggesting, like, listen, if you can do whatever it takes to at least show up on that court, right? At least dress. Have on the jersey. Have on the warm-ups. At least shoot around. I mean, it's, like, so hard to really say, like, oh, what I would do or what other people would do. But I just wish, like, as a competitor, I'm saying, that he would have that mentality of, if I could go, I'm gone. Like, just to at least say, I'm not scared of y'all. Like, you know, like we had what we had, you know? And now it's just different. You know, we wanted different things. We got those things. You guys got James. It's not like they got nothing. You know? You have James Harden now. You guys are playing good. Joel Embiid is healthy and having the best career. You know, the best season of his career right now. You know, it's not like he left. I get how he left. I get it. They have a right to be mad. But at the same time, I'm trying to say Ben Simmons should just come out there and say, this is my team. I'm playing with them. And that's it. And do whatever. I don't care if it's just a couple minutes. It's just to show fit. It's just to kind of show, like, listen, like I said, I'm not scared of you guys. I'm not scared to shoot. Even if he just came out and just shot a couple of shots and then, you know, coach just pulls him, you know, just to kind of monitor his minutes because he is, and not even start him. I'm not even saying you got to start him. You can let him come off the bench, let him do his thing for a couple of minutes, see how he is. Because it's even like, even the retired, you know, professional basketball players will tell you, or even NFL players that are retired, or even some of them that are active. The best way to get into basketball shape, especially NBA basketball shape, is to play. Like I said, unless he is legit hurt where he really can't go. Not that, oh, I'm not going to come back for this game. Because why not come back now? Why are you going to wait into the playoffs when people are already warm? They're already conditioned. Already in midseason form. Going into postseason form. You know, where they're about to turn it up to another gear. You know, and it's like, that's where you want him to start? I don't understand that. Especially when their team is, I feel like the Nets still have an identity crisis. Like, what's the culture there? What exactly are they built on? Yeah, KD's one of the best. Yeah, we know this. But what does that mean? KD can still put up 30-plus, and they still can lose. So what? Kyrie put up 50 the other night. They still lost. What does that mean? They're barely holding on to eighth place. You know, I think they're like, what, two games ahead of the Hornets, sitting at the ninth? Not only as a fan, because obviously anybody, because I know there's going to be so many people trying to attend that game. And it would have been nice if I can go, but I'm sure the price, you know, like I said, because we control the market, everybody's driving up the prices, you know, by saying that, oh, I'm willing to pay this much. Not only that, we hype it up too. So that also, you know, is another reason why the prices are so high. But they're only high if you're willing to pay them, you know. Watch, I'm pretty sure it's probably already sold out. I heard they already, right from when they were leaving the hotel earlier, he was already getting booed. You know, so I'm like, man, you at the man's hotel out there booing him. Some of y'all got to get a job. Seriously. Like, I get if you at the game and you got something, that you on the street booing him. Come on, man. I know how y'all Philly people get down, though. I know. Because I've been to a couple of Philly arenas. And don't get me wrong, I've loved it. I've been embraced. It's great. Especially in the playoff atmosphere. Because y'all ride for your teams. I'll give you that. But at the same time, it's like, don't be in the man's, like, come on. And up in his personal stuff. Come on. That's a bit much. Go to the game. You know, if you feel the need to boo, whatever. I would rather you guys be cheering for your team and what your squad is doing. Because you guys are doing some pretty amazing things. Especially with your newer talent, with Maxi, you know. But I'm not going to tell y'all what to do. Y'all do. Y'all do, y'all. But at the same time, it's like, That's a game that I'm going to be watching. I hope you guys are too, and kind of get your opinion on whether you think he should play or not, or whether you think the Nets are kind of just protecting him and just saying, listen, back soreness. I know he hasn't played in like a year and change, but his back hurts. You know, everybody's joking around about him slipping out of the tub. I don't know. I don't know his deal. I don't know what happened. I don't know what the deal is. But at the same time, it's like, I do wish him to be healthy, and I do wish them to be whole, because at the end of the day, as a fan, this is what you want. You want to see everybody healthy. Who doesn't want to see Kyrie, Ben Simmons, and KD together and make it work? I think we would all love to see that. I mean, everybody from Brooklyn was so happy when they had Harden, Kyrie, and KD, and everybody was like, oh, we went in a chip and this and that. All right. You know, they still got to play, right? They still got to mesh together. And unfortunately, there was a lot of things that kept that from happening. But I feel like they have, like, another chance. Because there's only one ball. You don't need all those scorers. Kyrie can get his shot whenever he wants, soaking KD. Like, that's the perfect. So the fact that Ben Simmons is still kind of finding his shot, if you want to say, he can just distribute. They need him there for defense. Have you seen the Nets play? They need defense, more emphasis on that, because otherwise the game plan for the other side is going to be, okay, let Kyrie get whatever he wants, guard everybody else. Because as long as if one person is eating, like, that's a very easy, you know, for the defense to kind of just say, okay, so we already know who to guard, you know, and just let him go ahead. Because if the other team, or rather, his other teammates doesn't get warmed up, they don't get their shots, they don't get confident. If anything, they're probably going to get an attitude, right? They're going to be back on defense, not going to play as hard. This is what happens. People think that doesn't happen, or that doesn't get factored in. But people who used to play sports, or any, especially basketball, you know when you're in your rhythm and you're just in your bag and you're hitting those shots, like, you're coming back on defense with a different sense of urgency. Especially when you know that defensive play, the next one can lead to a nice outlet pass and somebody just dunks it at the other end or whatever, or just an easy two at the end. It's just different. But if you're just watching one guy eat, it's like, okay, that's cool. Like, you know, you can build your points. We already know what type of talent you are. We already know what type of player you are. But if you're scoring that many points and your team loses, I really don't understand the hype. I really don't get it. Unless it's like you're that player that's trying to reach. Like, you're still trying to get there. You understand what I'm saying? But if you're that player that has a championship already, you've played with the best, you've been moving around, there's been talks about your character, it just makes more sense that you would do whatever it takes to win. Like, that should be the ultimate goal at this point, to win. Because winning those games, maybe it doesn't mean much, which I get, to the Nets to win. Because it's because at this point, he can't play at home. So home court advantage means nothing. I get that. I definitely understand all that. But just looking at the Heat, the Bucks, the 76ers, the Bulls, the Celtics, and the Cavs are still up and coming. You know, Raptors, I don't really take them seriously. But those are just teams you don't want a long series with. Because if your end game is to get to the finals, I mean, it's just going to be exhausting with the play-in tournament. Like, you're going to be playing extra just to even get to those series. And then once you get to that series, then you got to worry about health, longevity. KD just got back. Ben Simmons, you said back soreness, right? So now it's like, okay, so we're just going to throw him into the fire pretty much, asking him to play how many minutes? Because we already know the rotation starts to tighten up after a while, right? 8-man rotation, maybe 9, depending on the coach. Come on. I don't know. Hopefully they figure it out, but we'll see. Because all I want to see is competitive basketball at this point. You know, I have no horse in the race. So when you have no horse in the race, you can sit there and really just look at everything and just kind of just say, okay, I just want to see the best play. Like, I hope Lonzo Ball gets back. I want to see AC get back with the Bulls and Zach LaVine and DeRozan. I want to see everybody whole. I don't want to see all these missing pieces, because then when pieces are missing, what happens? Oh, they only won because, but injuries are a part of the game, so we got to stop saying that. Injuries are a part of the game. It happens. Any team can say that on any given night if their star is missing. But it's all about that next man up mentality. How well did you coach the younger guys in the regular season? That's why even the Golden State Warriors, for instance, a lot of people, you know, yeah, they were on a losing streak. But at the same time, if you look at who is in those games, they are developing young talent. And I'm going to leave it at that. So when everybody's looking at them in a series, you'll see what Steve Kerr is doing. He's building towards that. He's looking at the longevity of things. He's thinking about, how do I not play Clay so much? Clay is still getting back into things. He's been gone for 2 years. Serious injuries at that. Steph as well. Steph has been asked to do a lot under a lot of pressure. You know, he was trying to get the 3-pointer. He got that. You know, now he's chasing other, you know, personal accolades, things that will help further his legacy. But at the same time, when you look at Jordan Poole and all these other guys, you know, while Wiseman is out and Draymond is out, like, their team looks solid. Their depth is crazy. And that's what we're going to remember, at least about Steve Kerr, at least for me personally. The way they develop young talent is just, it's incredible. It's incredible. Because the minute you count them out and they can go through a bad year or two, and then all of a sudden, how are they right back in it? It's because they drafted players. Whether it was due to G League, right, or whether it was just through the draft, or it wasn't like necessarily through draft picks. Everybody just remembers when they got KD. Everybody wants to forget that they got a ring before him. You know, they broke the record before him. Like, yeah, they came up short. Things happen, injuries, things that just can't, you know, you can't control everything. You only control what you can control. And you just leave it like that. But that's a scary team to me. You have a long series with a team like that. That's scary. The Suns as well. Great job at developing talent. Like, Aiden's only getting better. Look at Martell Bridges. Markel, excuse me. Like, these guys are getting so much better. It doesn't matter whether Chris Paul's not playing. You know, of course it matters, but you know what I mean? I mean, like, they're still number one. Ahead number one by 8 games in front of the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are another really good team when you look at them. Everybody talks about Ja Morant because he's box office. We know that. John Morant is fun to watch. He's the reason why you have NBA League Pass. If you have NBA League Pass, you know what I'm talking about. You know, because you want to watch games like the Grizzlies, the Suns. Well, the Timberwolves could be interesting here and there, but they're just not consistent. But I like watching them as well. But there's just some teams you just always want to watch, or even the Bulls. The Hornets, too. They've been kind of showing their age lately, but they're just fun to watch. Ja Morant is fun to watch. He enjoys the game. You can tell by the way he plays and how the way he jumps so high for those dunks. It's ridiculous. But that's another team. You don't want to have a long series with them. The Jazz are only getting better. It's like we have to just look and see. And then also with the Mavs, KP, I thought that move was really good. You know, Porzingis, injury prone. I heard he wasn't getting along with Luka Doncic, and Luka Doncic is the man there, so we already know that. So Porzingis is with the Wizards now. I don't know how much that's going to help right now, unless they try to, you know, get in front of the Hawks and the Hornets. I mean, try to get into that play-in tournament. But people forget about Dinwiddie. Man, because he was recovering from that injury. But when he was with the Nets, remember how he helped take them to the playoffs and what they were able to do without their, you know, Kyrie and KD at the time? That's a team to watch because they're sitting there in fifth place real quiet. That's a team to watch. Also the Nuggets as well, because I heard Michael Porter Jr. should be coming back. And I mean back. So we'll see. No pun intended with the whole back injury thing, but wished him well. I mean, that big contract and all. And people forget about the Joker too. So there's teams that are right there. Right there. Some people keep asking me about what about the Lakers? Lakers should just, like I said before, Lakers should just shut it down. They're sitting right there in ninth. I know a lot of people want to see them make that final push, but for what? Oh, for AD to get back and what? To get hurt again? For what? For what? If they really want to see this team be better for the future, at least, you have to just chill. Next year is a whole nother season. And I'm not trying to say quit. I'm just trying to say LeBron is in his 19th year. We're talking about practicality right here. Melo, I mean, man, it was hard. I'm not sure if you guys saw that game. It wasn't one of those primetime games, but I was watching. It was the Rockets versus the Lakers, and Jalen lit Melo up. And then, if that wasn't even already bad, when the reporter asked, so what was the game plan tonight? What were y'all trying to do? Because y'all just came out and just did your thing or whatever. And he was just like, oh, just put Melo on the block and just ISO him and just, you know, just target Melo pretty much. Light him up all game because he was a liability. I want to know Melo's comments on that, though. You know, not to be like, you know, instigating. I mean, the media kind of already did that, but. Or maybe Jalen kind of did that because you didn't need to say all that. You could have just said, you know, we were just playing as a team. You know, just same generic things. I think he was kind of saying that to kind of get a rise out of Melo. But who knows? Who knows? It just looked bad. And if I'm not mistaken, because I pretty much keep track of the teams that are in contention or can possibly be in the play-in. You know, so I don't look at any. If you're sitting lower than 12. And even 12, I'm not looking at. It's just because the Knicks are happening to be 12 on the East. That's why I'm kind of paying attention to it, low-key. But the Houston Rockets are last, though, in the West. Dead last. And, the Lakers got beat. I mean, beat. And Russell Westbrook had a decent game. LeBron, I mean, he has more than a decent game. I mean, he has all-star numbers. You know how you already know what LeBron's going to give you. But it's not offense. Yeah, they go through these the streaky type shooting. Even LeBron sometimes, when you look at the percentage or even, yeah, field goal percentage, it's not exactly the prettiest to look at. But their biggest problem has always been defense. You know, they got rid of a lot of players that matter, and they don't see that. I just felt like if he was going to get rid of that many players, it should have been for a younger guy, you know, who could have helped you more so on the defensive and obviously on the offensive end, because LeBron is just he's just better. He can do more for your team when he's surrounded by shooters, and we've seen that in the past. That was usually the formula, but I don't know why they went in this direction and expected things to just kind of pan out, you know, for the long run. You know, some would argue, it was like, well, it did work. They had a championship. And I'm not saying it didn't, but then you should be content with that then. I'm talking about for the long run. I'm not just talking about for just now. Okay, you got a ring. Okay, so you cool with that, and then you just want to play, you know, out LeBron's career like Jordan with the Wizards? Is that what we're doing right now? But from what I heard, he was chasing rings, right? He's chasing ghosts. Even though I know he already called himself, you know, the GOAT. But you're still chasing rings, though. That was the whole point of getting Anthony Davis there. It wasn't just to get one ring and kind of hang it up. You know, but I think at this point, who knows? Maybe LeBron is just like, you know what? I need to shut it down. I need to kind of, not really, I don't want to say shut it down, because that just kind of sounds like he's just not going to be playing anymore. I just mean in a way where he's still trying to save himself for when his son gets in the league, you know, he gets into the league, he wants to play on the same team as him, you know, kind of guide him and things of that nature. So, I don't know. But with the Lakers, I wouldn't have high hopes, though, guys. I'm sorry. Lakers fans, I'm sure you already know that. I'm pretty sure you're already feeling that. Yeah, you guys did have a ring. So it's like, I can't say that I feel bad, you know. It is what it is at this point. You know, you have to just plan for the future. I think that should have been the game plan from jump. I mean, that's why you have GMs, right? But I heard Gina Buss is reaching out to Magic. I kind of figured somebody would do that, because that's just a smart decision. Because when Magic left, you had to kind of think to yourself, Now, Magic loves the Lakers. So when he left, you know, it wasn't just for no reason, you know, besides all the things that they were trying to say about him professionally. It was more so about, y'all going to run this team into the ground, which you did. So now, it's only right that you try to get his help. I don't know. Maybe make Magic GM. I don't know. But he has he's a businessman. I understand he has different business ventures and different things to get into. But, you know, he's a boss. So I don't know. Maybe he just needs to delegate those things to other people. You know, Lakers, that's his thing. He loves the Lakers. I'm sure he can't stand seeing the Lakers like this. I know James Worthy can't. I heard him on an interview saying, you know, just when you think we can't stoop any low, you know, when we lost to, you know, the kids with the Rockets, like, it's just terrible. So hopefully they do get it together. I think maybe that's more of an off-season problem once they kind of, you know, make some changes and things. And it's just terrible, because when you just look at the whole organization and what they're about and the culture, and then just instead of looking at the GM and figuring out, we obviously need to make a move here, also looking at the coaching staff as well as the players, because the players are not responding, and then you have to move them around and you figure out why, you know. But at the same time, it's like everybody just wanted to blame it on one guy. I guess that's just the easy way out, right? There's a lot of problems wrong with the Lakers. And this is not just for your casual fan, because you're not going to understand that. Casual fans are just going to read headlines, not watch games, and not understand. When you watch Laker games, you're not even sure what they're doing half the time. You can't even see whose role is it to predominantly, you know, have the ball in their hands. Like, you can't. And that's sad to see. It's the same thing on defense. Like, there's no real leader. There's nobody calling out anybody. There's nobody taking accountability for anything. Everybody's just kind of just all for themselves. And that's only going to amount to losses. So we'll see what kind of moves that they make. And hopefully they get back to winning. I mean, the NBA in general is just so much better. When the Knicks are doing better, Lakers. I mean, come on. When those two teams are just not doing well, even the Celtics too. But the Celtics are starting to pick it back up. And at least they're in the race, you know. It's just better for basketball. But you already know how that is. Like I said, it's just that time of year where we have to really start buckling down. I really have to start making my picks. It's just hard when these teams just keep moving back and forth. Like the 76ers were just in second. Now the Bucks, you know, because they won and now they're up. And the Bucks are just so sneaky too because they have some depth to them too. And I feel like Jrue Holiday is really getting himself acclimated to that team and the culture there. Man, it's... Can't forget about the Bulls either, even though the Bulls have been tested a couple times, and now it's like, you know, we'll see. I'm going to start making my picks. You guys let me know what you think. Start making your picks, too. Don't wait for me to pick mine and then say, oh, that's not going to happen. No. Let me see what you have, and then we'll compare notes. All right. But you already know. I got to go. It's been fun, guys. Peace.
This is The Ripple Effect with your girl, K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.